Welcome back. It's the Philosopher's Stone podcast with me, Jordan Strauss, and
me, Sam Laboon.
We got that one down. I think that's pretty good. Welcome back, everyone. Whoever listens to this, whoever you mysterious people are, appreciate you. Love you. What's up, Sam? What's new with you?
What is new with me? Let me think about that one. That's the thing, is things don't change that much. Things are pretty much on a steady course here.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot to be said about that. You know, the world has been through a lot of changes recently, and sometimes it's nice to go through a period of stagnation every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm stagnating. It's just like the rate of change is such. It's like it's spring right now, right? So lots of things are happening. The leaves are coming out and stuff like that. And there's all these big changes happening. But,
but I'm in more of a mid-season. Your soul is not blooming. Your soul is not having its leaves change color, is it?
No, we're in more of a mid-season phase. Maybe more of an evergreen than
okay.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see. I'm really trying to think hard. I think I saw Dune Part 2 for the last time. That might be my big news.
you got duned out?
Well, yeah, I've seen it too many times. I think.
Have you seen it in the theaters?
Probably 6 or 7 times.
That's too many times. So. Yeah.
But it's only going to be here once, and then it's gone. So I feel like I have to...
Hey, you know what? If it's good enough, it'll come back to theaters. Just ask Lord of the Rings.
That's true. Yeah, you know what? When he does Dune Messiah, they probably will put all three of them back out again. I wouldn't be surprised.
It was a good movie. It was a good movie. I will say that. You know what I've been watching lately? Me and my wife have been watching a show called Welcome to Wrexham. Have you heard of it?
This is about the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia owners buying a British championship team.
A Welsh National League team.
British, technically. They were conquered.
So it's okay, it's Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney. I think is how you spell the last name. And they buy a Welsh football club in a town called Wrexham. And they're in the National League. So they're like not even in the real...
Not in the Premier League.
No, they're not in the Champions League. They're not in League One. They're not in League Two. They're below that. So
they're not in the... In England, it goes Premier League, Championship. They're not in the Championship?
So the way they describe it in the show is there's four tiers in the major leagues in the UK. Yeah. It's League One, League Two, Champions League, and then Premier League.
Okay, they're in League Two.
No, they're in National League, which is below all of those tiers.
I'm looking at Wrexham AFC.
Don't, spoiler alert.
Oh.
Fuck. I thought you were just looking up at the string. Okay, so what are they at right now?
Where's the show from?
It's
5 years ago?
I think there's 3 seasons and I'm on season 1.
Okay.
So they make it. Obviously, they make it out of National League. Where are they in now?
You want to know? You really want to know?
No, don't tell me. I mean, if there's 3 seasons in, I assume they make it out of the National League. But, anyways, that's the whole point of season 1. Is to get them promoted out of National League into the major 4 leagues. So that's been really good. I'm surprised how invested I've gotten into it. You would like it, Sam. It's really good.
See them. I see highlights of them cheering when Wrexham wins.
Because when they first show up, it's like this kind of dilapidated stadium, and the team sucks so bad, and all the fans, like, they go and they follow a bunch of people from the town, right? And like, get everybody's, they follow the players and like the town, and then it's like shows them trying to like figure out a way to get enough money to essentially hire better talent and shit. So it's pretty exciting. You would like it. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, that
it's
is
just so bizarre that it's Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney. That's not how you say his name, is it?
McElhenney?
Whatever.
McElhenney?
McElhenney? Sure. They say it in the show a bunch, but yeah. It's these two pretty famous people going to this really small Welsh town and getting in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty, pretty good. I would recommend it.
Yeah. Good for them. American owners buying. Well, actually, American owners have bought a few Premier League teams recently. Probably most famously, Liverpool got bought by, the Fenway Sports Group that owns the Red Sox.
Oh, no kidding.
And then, and they did really well for a while. But Chelsea got bought by like an American, I don't know, like capital equity thing, whatever.
I mean, and they must be such expensive teams to buy.
Well, they are, but they are expensive. But you can make huge profits with them two ways. You can make a ton of profit with them by winning the Champions League,
mm-hmm.
Which Chelsea are totally capable of and have done before. Or you can, I guess, try to make profits by selling players and turning it into a player mill. But they've just run Chelsea into the ground, and the team sucks.
Well, I won't tell my wife Chelsea about that because she's by default a fan of theirs, I guess.
No. Yeah, good point.
I don't think this show really gives you a good insight. It gives you a nice appreciation for the sport and the love of the common folk for their football club. So that's my recommendation for this week is watch Welcome to Wrexham. Even if you're not a fan of sports, it's interesting beyond that.
Very nice. What's your take on the Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef?
I've always said, I have maintained that Drake is a douchebag since the beginning, since he first got famous. I've never liked his music. I've just got such fuckboy vibes from that guy from the jump. So I'm loving it. I'm loving what's happening to this guy right now, especially if he's kind of being exposed as like basically a pedophile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've been through his neighborhood a few times, in Toronto. Apparently there was a shooting there this morning or yesterday morning. One of his bodyguards got shot.
Well, yeah, I saw on Reddit, his house was surrounded by police. So I thought he was going to get the P. Diddy treatment there. but that's I will crazy. Say I wasn't impressed by the actual diss tracks. I didn't think they were that good.
Hmm. Well, they got to punch those diss tracks out quick. Like that's you don't true. Have time for rewrites and edits and the normal creative process.
I'm not finding this beef as entertaining as I found Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly, just because that was such a lopsided.
That was funny, yeah.
It was so lopsided as like the skill set and the level of ability. Like one, it did boost his career, I will say. Like if his ultimate goal was to get more eyes on him as an artist, Machine Gun Kelly did it was a masterful marketing strategy, but he really did get absolutely tooled up by Eminem.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what to make of this whole Drake Kendrick thing. I'm assuming like they all have skeletons in their closets, but
yeah. But I mean, Drake, I've never liked him. I think he's been bad for the rap genre overall. So I'm happy to see mm-hmm. all this happening too. I know I'm upsetting a lot of people right now with my anti-Drake rhetoric, but I've stood on that ground for years. I used to talk about how much I hate Drake on stage during comedy, and people get mad, like legitimately get mad at me.
I don't get it. I don't think I've ever listened to one of his songs, so I can't.
He does have some great production, like the whoever makes his beats. I'll tip my hat to them because he does have some good beats. It's just as soon as he starts rapping, I'm like, ugh, you fucking douche.
Yeah, he does make, he's, I think he's, what I know him most for is making huge bets on sports and losing. That's what I know him for.
Remember when the Toronto Raptors were
bets.
When Toronto Raptors were in the playoffs for their championship run and he was like on the bench and like getting in the face of referees and shit. It's like that to me just proves how big of a narcissist he is.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to do that because he's got to be Mr. Toronto. He has to do that.
Well, he's giving Toronto a bad name right now.
He is. He's giving us a real bad name. Well, I should say us. I'm leaving.
Good. Get out of there before it gets too hot in there, you know? The heat's coming down on Drake and the whole city's feeling it.
It's true. The shooters are out.
Yeah.
I can't listen to...
Kendrick Lamar is a far superior artist, although I must say he gets a little too artsy with a lot of his music for me.
He plays violins and stuff.
No, it's more like he changes the whole song in the middle of the song so often. So it's it's almost like all of his songs seem like there's five songs in one song, which I guess is, you know, I just want to be able to kind of get locked into the themes of a song and ride that out. I don't want to have to like everything to start changing at all every five bars or whatever. That's what I've gotten from Kendrick Lamar as a rapper. Every time I listen to him, it's just there's not enough through line for me in his music. His older stuff was really good.
Very interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to try to do an elaborate segue here.
Okay. How are you going to do this?
So it's interesting that you say this about Kendrick's songs, how you just wish it would stay the same song.
Mm-hmm.
But it just completely changes halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, what am I listening to now? So it's in one sense, it's two different songs, but then in another sense, it's still the same track. It's still the same song.
Okay.
And that's related to this story I read about a lady who has two different DNA sequences, but she's the same, but she's just one person.
Oh, yeah. That's what it reminded you of. That's cool.
Well, how things change but stay the same. It's like a ship of Theseus.
Right.
Like if you change something, does it stay the same? If you completely change the harmony and the melody of a song halfway through, is it still the same song?
I mean, it's the same song if it's all under one title track. There's no rules. But I see what you're saying, right? Because like what the ship of Theseus, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Where it's a boat. If you don't know, this is as far as I understand it. It's a thought experiment about things changing incrementally. So this one would be a boat that's getting pieces of itself replaced after damage over years, and over many years, every part of the boat's been replaced. So is it still the same boat as it was when you first built it? And that also applies to human bodies. A lot of people don't know that, but all of our cells get replaced completely, like every 7 years or something.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. The cell replacement. So this article I read, so this is really, really interesting. So there are two eggs and they were fertilized by two sperm in the same uterus, but instead of becoming two people, they fused into one person.
What? Okay. That is bizarre.
Yeah. So in utero, the two embryos fused into a single person.
And they didn't have any extra little gadgets hanging around, you know what I'm saying?
Extra gadgets, random hand sticking out of the wrist.
Exactly. They didn't have a couple fingers out of the back of their neck.
That does actually happen.
I know.
That's freaky. That didn't happen in this case. She's just one person. She, later in life, when she was in her 50s, she had to get a kidney replacement, and she had two daughters. And they tested them, and according to the DNA tests, they weren't her kids.
Whoa.
Because she has two different DNA sequences depending on which cell you look at.
Interesting.
So, genetically, they didn't think they were her kids, even though they actually were.
So she was two people, technically.
She, depending on which cells you look at, she has two different DNA
sequences. That is so bizarre.
Yeah, and so this is... So like one kind of way you could look at like a who are you? You could say like, oh, you are your DNA.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's what they've said. I think Richard Dawkins, in his book, The Selfish Gene, he argued that you're just a mechanism to perpetuate your genes, basically. The genes are running the show.
I'm just thinking, like, if she could somehow harness which cells are left behind, she could make a great murderer, a great serial killer.
That's hilarious. Oh, man.
Like, she could, because if
that is true,
DNA yeah. testing would not work on her, right?
Yeah, it would be bizarre. Well, it would
enough to fool the, it would be enough to not be admissible.
It could be.
Court.
If they didn't know, yeah, if like they didn't know about this condition,
oh my God,
your DNA test would be bizarre.
Serial killer superpower.
Yeah. But so based on this case, there have been some scientists who have said that the DNA isn't running the show. The DNA is like the tools that are needed to make things, but it's not really what's in charge.
Well, then what's in charge?
According to this theory, it's the cells. Your cells are in charge. Your cells, this is by like a big deal biologist. He's the Martinez Arias. He was the chair at Cambridge.
Oh,
he's a big deal. But he pointed out that he thinks it's your cells are in charge, and he thinks cells are like self-organizing things, that they know what to do based on their proximity with other cells, and it's not the DNA that's doing it.
So at the end of the day, the cells are the managers of the shop.
Yeah. And there's some like interesting examples, like one, like they cloned a cat in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And the cloned cat was named Copycat. And they cloned a calico, so it should be white, orange, and black. But yeah, the clone had the exact same DNA, had no orange fur.
Hmm.
Because the researchers copied the DNA from a cell, and in that cell's DNA sequence, the orange fur gene was deactivated.
Wow. How did it get? Did they deactivate it on purpose? It's funny because my cat, her mom is a calico. So orange, black, and white. But she's only black and white. I wonder what happened there.
Yeah. So Martina says, like, look, when people clone something, they're expecting that they will get something that looks exactly the same, behaves exactly the same, mm-hmm. because it has the same DNA.
Right.
But he says that's impossible. It can never happen.
So all of these movie premises about clones is basically horseshit. Like,
yeah, if the clone looks exactly the same, acts exactly the same, that's not actually possible.
So you could clone yourself 5 times and you're basically getting 5 different dudes still.
You'll be slightly different, yeah. All of them will be different.
That'd be so disappointing to have a clone and then him turn out to be a complete asshole.
Your clone's a jerk.
I
guess that's like the whole evil clone.
Evil clone, yeah, but I don't know. I think one day cloning is going to be commonplace, especially for pets.
Yeah, they're just going to have to be ready for the fact that the clone isn't going to be, it's not going to be a Snowball or Fido or whatever. It's going to be a little different.
Because a woman in my area, I remember seeing this. She paid a shit ton of money to clone her cat that died.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know what happened, but it would be hilarious if she spent all that money and the cat she got is like a completely different cat anyways.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, she's expecting to get her old cat back, but that's not possible. You just got the same DNA, but a totally different personality and probably looks too.
Mm-hmm. That's just not going to happen. And this article is a great article. There's this company called, this is a hilarious name for the company. You know how a bank is called Savings and Loan?
Yeah, Savings and Clone.
Genetic Savings and Clone, yeah.
There you go.
And they had to close down because you can't make that kind of clone.
You can, yeah. So, and that's pretty much the only clone. Like, that's why people would want clones, right? Is to replicate someone exactly or very close or something.
Yeah, but seems like that's not possible. But here's this is actually really interesting. So they did all this research about how embryos form, and one of the earliest stages, basically it's you've been through this, so you know all the science, but
I don't know shit.
Okay. Well, so you know then that it starts with one cell.
Okay.
And from that one cell makes all sorts of different cells that all do different things.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually becoming a whole human body with a brain and everything.
So does that first cell have all the information for the whole body in it somewhere? Or is it just reacting? Or is it just, it has information for one type of cell and it makes that?
Yeah, one different question. I don't know.
One different type of cell it makes, and then those cells know how to make the next type of cell, and then it's kind of like a train. You know,
that's interesting. That could be it. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. That is interesting. But what they say happens is this: the first structure is what they call it a gastroloid. And this is just, it's not an embryo yet, but it looks sort of like a peanut, basically.
Hmm.
And it has the symmetry of a human, where it has top down, left, right symmetry, front, back. You could see where the head, feet, back will be and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they, these cells just come together and do this. It takes 400 of them, and it doesn't really happen with less or more. And they just sort of self-organize into this peanut-like embryo shape.
What I was surprised seeing, my son's first ultrasound, he was the size of a dime when we got that done.
Yeah.
And yet he already had limbs and hands and stuff. Like, those things form real fast.
Yeah. Yeah. It forms. They don't really know a lot about the first few days of pregnancy because it's basically extremely impossible. It's basically impossible to study it.
Mm-hmm.
But they do know that one of the earliest things is the cells self-assemble into this shape when there's the correct number of them, and they go to the right places and do all these things. And so his argument is that your genes aren't telling them to move to those places. It's the cell that knows how to do that. So the cell is really what's building your body.
Hmm.
So are you a collective? Maybe are we just a collective? Is that what we are?
I think, yeah, basically we are the illusion of us being an individual is just that. It's an illusion, highly sophisticated illusion, when really we're a metropolis of living organisms. The face mites are my fucking
face mites.
The face mites. Those aren't technically, they aren't natives to the body, but they are immigrants that have a function, I believe. you know the face mites, right? Everybody has them.
Yeah.
It's one of the most disturbing facts I've learned about the human body is that all of us have little bugs living in our facial pores that aren't originally from us. They came from a foreign place and they nest in everyone's faces.
Yeah, if you look at their pictures under electron microscopes, they're super freaky looking.
Yeah, and they're literally listening to me talk right now about them.
I don't think they can hear because they'd be deaf from our voices. Right?
They have their own way of experiencing sound, I'm sure.
Yeah, they probably feel crazy vibrations whenever we talk, especially if they're living on our throats.
Maybe not, though. I mean, maybe they're too small for to even experience vibrations.
Yeah. Very interesting creatures. Okay, speaking of weird creatures living in us and how they could influence our identity, the presidential candidate, RFK Jr.,
mm-hmm.
He said today that doctors found a worm in his brain, and it had eaten part of his brain and then died.
Is that even possible? Every time I try and like this guy, he says some batshit crazy shit. Batshit crazy shit. Look at me talk. This is true.
RFK Jr., New York Times. RFK Jr. says doctors found a dead worm in his brain.
I know, but has anyone else confirmed that?
The doctors. The New York Times confirmed it.
Wait, so this legitimately happened, or is he...
No, this is real.
This actually happened. This isn't him just being crazy.
Quoting from the New York Times, in 2010, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was experiencing memory loss and mental fogginess so severe that a friend grew concerned he might have a brain tumor. Mr. Kennedy said he consulted several of the country's top neurologists, and several doctors noticed a dark spot on his brain scans, concluded it was a tumor. But then he got a call from a different doctor who said it was a dead parasite.
What? That is insane. So it's real.
I don't know. It never says he actually got the surgery and had it removed.
Well, why remove it? It's dead.
It must be to have a toxic body decomposing in your brain.
It can't be good.
He's got a dead worm in his brain.
Maybe one of his face mites he woke up facing the wrong way and started digging.
Oh my God. Oh, listen to this. Hours after the article was published, Mr. Kennedy posted, quote, "I offered to eat 5 more brain worms and still beat President Trump and President Biden in a debate."
That is hilarious.
What the fuck? Okay, he has health issues, but nowhere in this article has it said that. Okay, hold on. Doctors ultimately concluded that the cyst contained the remains of a parasite.
Wow.
So he's got a cyst in his brain with a dead worm in it.
I would have kept that to myself until I was on my deathbed.
Oh my God.
That can't help his chances of getting elected. I mean, that's not really a bright move campaign wise. This is what's going to happen. We're going to get all 3 of these idiots on stage to debate each other. They're all going to go senile in real time on live TV. And then Bernie Sanders is going to drop down from a vent and suck their souls out of their bodies.
That's who should be the president, Bernie Sanders. But anyway.
Trump and Biden, they both seem like they're on their last fumes of being able to function as humans.
Yeah.
Bernie's 80. How old is he? 89?
What?
No. It's just a little younger than my grandma. How old is he? He's about 82. He's in his 80s.
Really?
Yeah.
82? He's still so sharp. But anyways. Yes.
I feel like his brain works better than Biden and Trump combined.
Yeah. So
that would be great. Speaking of cloning, have you ever heard? Do you remember Dragon Ball Z where they confuse together and then they share personalities?
Nope, that sounds very interesting, but I never watched that show really.
You what? Oh, you son of a bitch. Okay,
I watched Digimon.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the greatest anime franchises, one of the most successful franchises ever is Dragon Ball Z. And in that show, it's all about powering up and leveling up, right? That's the whole formula of the show is just rinse and repeat. There's a bad guy that shows up, beats everyone up. Then they have to train to get stronger. And then they fight the guy. They still lose. And then one of them figures out a way to transform into some next level of power, right? A Super Saiyan. But sometimes they don't have the ability to transform to the next level. So what they do instead is they fuse together. They do a fusion dance.
Wow.
And then the two entities get fused together and then their personalities mix and their powers mix and they become this ultimate being for a limited time. Now, imagine if we could get Trump and Biden to do that. Then everybody would have to be happy, right?
Who is the new person? Is the new person Trump or is it Biden? Or is it a completely new thing? human.
It's both of their personalities mixed into one, and they're usually
Where do they put the brains? Are they putting Biden's brain?
It's literally Trump's every brain, part or? Of their bodies are fused into one. So they
oh.
In the show they usually are like more. When they fuse together, they're like twice as powerful, right? So their confidence is way higher, and then they have like their senses of humor kind of mixed together too. Like it's weird. Like their personalities and their bodies mix into one.
So they become one person with a new personality, or is it like two people cohabiting one brain?
No, it's one person with a new personality. They even have a new name.
Wow. Oh wow. And how do their memories work? They both have, the new entity has all the memories of both Trump and Biden.
I would assume so. I'll have to do some research on fusion lore. And
this is crazy.
But from what I recall, the show is that basically the two people fuse together and they're a new person that is all the qualities of both people combined into one.
Wow. That seems bizarre. Like, what if a smart person and a dumb person fuse?
Well, then they would just become an average.
They just become average.
Okay. Yeah. They become an average blow Joe, right? They meet in the middle.
You made the middle interesting.
So we would have the ultimate centrist president.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Oh, they should do that. Yeah, that should be what they have to do from now on. They pick two from each side and then they fuse them.
Yeah. There you go.
That's a great solution.
I mean, it is a great solution because then it's like everybody gets their guy, sort of.
That's interesting. So in a sense, if you were to do that, in a sense, you would be killing both of them.
Yes. Because if we're still dealing with Dragon Ball Z rules, they can unfuse after a certain amount of time.
Oh, that's interesting.
So after their term is up, they unfuse. See, this is what it should be. Every party gets to be a piece of the ultimate leader. So in Canada, we have a bunch of parties, and this is how we're going to do it. When I'm the ultimate leader of the universe, when I'm the emperor, this is how I'm going to get my world leaders to operate, right? Everybody gets to vote for their party leader. The amount of vote that each leader gets is the percentage of how much of that person ends up in the final fusion, right? So everybody is getting represented by one person, but the values and personalities vary percentage-wise based on how many votes they got.
Okay. Yeah. I get that. That makes sense. So if it was 50-50, you get a 50-50 fusion.
Yes. So you would end up everybody would end up more like all the leaders would end up more in the center, right?
Mm. Yeah. Wow. Biden and Trump fuse. Trump suddenly cares about his kids.
Not in a I want to fuck them type of way.
Oh my God. That's insane. That's interesting. This is because this whole idea of fusing two people, this is like a big thing in philosophy of identity. Because they want to, there's like two views about like what it is that makes someone the same. And one argument is called psychological continuity, where as long as you have psychological continuity, it's still you.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, say like RFK Jr. says he has memory loss. He does not have psychological continuity with the parts of his life where he has memory loss. So
right.
You might wonder, does that mean he's not the same person at those times that he can't remember?
No, because in the moment he can remember, probably. It's not until later that he loses the memory.
Yeah. Same thing with sleep. Like we go to sleep, we don't have psychological continuity when we're asleep, but that doesn't mean that we are a different person when we're asleep.
Right. I still think that there's a lot of research to be done on the phenomenon of dreaming, because there is just it's like a highly rendered special effects, character driven plot. Everything's involved in a dream. I had a dream the other day that a bunch of garlic was growing up through my floor in my house.
Huh. That's weird. Garlic.
Yeah. So it's like, what is that? Why is that? Why am I having that dream?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't think it's that important.
You don't think so? I kind of think this. I'm starting to think the same way. I think it's literally just like a screensaver for our consciousness.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on, but I don't think it's a big deal. I think it just, I mean, you get stress dreams. That has some meaning to it, but mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a problem for psychological continuity, but in a sense, like, we kind of get what it means. Like, if you remember yourself at some time, you have a psychological continuity, and there might be some bumps here and there, but as long as you don't completely forget everything, I think you still have psychological continuity.
Mm-hmm. So what's bizarre is that, like we were talking about before, is all your cells do get replaced. Is that even your brain cells?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting, because the other point of view is that our identity persists as long as we're the same organism. And that's a little different, right? Because if psychological continuity is the criterion, then you could, like, you can, this isn't like the fusing thing, but you could say you could transplant your brain, the part of your brain that is conscious and does your personality and all that sort of thing, put that in a different body. Now that different body has psychological continuity with you. So that different body would be you, and your original body would not be you anymore.
So you're saying that your brain is everything that makes up
who you are. under this psychological continuity view.
Right.
But according to the organism view, you are removing an organ from an organism and putting it in a different body doesn't mean that now the whole organism is different.
No.
You're just that the organism is just missing that organ. The original. So now, under their view, you're just an organism, but your part of your brain is missing.
Got eaten by a worm.
Brain worm. Right, RFK. So I love that guy.
Have you ever played the game Limbo?
Oh yeah. Yep.
You know those worms that drop on his head and then all of his controls go reverse?
Oh yeah. Good point. Yep. That's true.
Worm that drops on your character's head and burrows in, and then all your controls go opposite of what they should be, and it's very confusing. That's what RFK Jr. is going through, or was going through.
Yeah. So
actually, he thinks vaccines are great for everyone. It was just the worms making him say everything opposite of people, his beliefs. It was opposite day for him the whole time.
Opposite day. Yeah. So for those times when he had. Maybe when he had the worm in his brain, suppose the worm in his brain like totally changed his memory and affected him so that he's not psychologically continuous with the parasite in his brain. He would still, that would be, if it was like a really severe parasite and it totally disrupted him, then I think you could say he might not be the same person when he has the parasite controlling him.
Yeah.
But if it's just sort of giving him a little bit of memory loss here and there, I think it's still safe to say he's the same person.
I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
Speaking of JFK, did you see Bill Burr's playing JFK in Seinfeld's new movie?
Oh, yeah, I did see that casting. Yeah, that's perfect casting.
That's hilarious.
Here's an interesting problem for the psychological continuity view. So... the objection is that if our identity is our psychological continuity, then we are actually not an organism. That sounds really weird, right?
Yeah.
But that sounds really weird, right? If we are psychologically continuous, if we are our psychological continuity,
then our body doesn't matter as long as the psychological continuity is maintained.
Yes. And here's the argument. So you're a person, right? We are a person.
Uh-huh.
And we have the property that we continue to exist as long as our psychological continuity persists. So as long as you are psychologically continuous, you exist.
Mm-hmm.
However, no organism has that property. No organism continues to exist just in case of its psychological continuity.
So wait, sorry, I'm confused. What do you mean no organism?
Right. So imagine, so you are an organ. So suppose there's a human organism.
Okay.
And it gets a worm that eats its brain,
mm-hmm.
but it's still alive.
Yeah.
And they take the brain, they take the worm out. There's been severe damage to the brain of the organism,
mm-hmm.
but the organism, you know, ship of Theseus stuff aside, it's still the same organism.
Right. But it's brain, but there's no psychological continuity.
There's no psychological continuity.
So basically, if you go brain dead, you're gone already.
Not if you are the organism. If you are the organism, you are still there. You've changed, like one of your organs has been damaged, but you are still there. You are the organism.
See, and that's where I am going to... I don't think that if your brain is gone, I think you're gone. And then you just have a cluster of cells that are continuing on with the only thing they know how to do. But everything that makes you you, that matters, is gone.
Yeah, so then you have to say that you, Jordan Strauss, are not. You have a property that no organism has.
Yeah,
and that's that you continue to exist.
Look, if my brain died, but my body stayed alive somehow, which is impossible, or say the part of my brain that my frontal cortex shrivels up, a worm eats it, which is now something I have to be afraid of in life. Worm eats my brain, but all the base functions are still operational, right? My body is functioning fine. It's just my consciousness and everything that makes me me is gone. Now, if you take that and you transport someone else's frontal cortex onto my brain and body, that is not when that being starts living their life in my body. That's not me. And no one would say it's me.
Well, two things. One, I think if you are an organism and you get another organ planted into you, are you still the same organism?
I mean, like if I got a liver transplant, I would still consider myself the same person.
If you got a brain transplant,
then no. Not at all.
Yeah. So you're saying so that's like psychological continuity. What about pure organism? And pretend we're not talking about a human, pretend it's like a whale or something gets a brain transplant. Is it a different whale, different organism?
I mean, if it starts behaving like the whale where the brain came from, then that's what I think would happen. It's not going to, all of its behaviors and everything are going to change, are going to continue on from the old whale body. Like say you take a blue whale's brain and you somehow put it in a killer whale's body. That killer whale is not going to act like a killer whale. It's going to act like a blue whale.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the ship of Theseus, but all you do is replace the captain and the new captain has a different way of doing things. Is it the same ship, different ship?
Well, I mean, I guess that would depend on,
the captain's different, but is it the same ship?
I suppose it is the same ship, but that's not, I don't think that's a
that's too different.
That's not a fair analogy. I don't think.
No.
I mean, some people might say that the Black Pearl without Captain Jack Sparrow is nothing but
it's not the Black Pearl anymore.
it's just another ship. He makes the Black Pearl, the Black Pearl. That's what I think. The spirit of the ship has changed if the captain is switched, right? It's just a vessel.
Uh-huh.
The crew is what makes the ship the ship.
All right, okay. Interesting. The crew. But I mean, yeah.
So if but, of course, crew,
you could replace the whole crew over time.
Yeah, but then the behaviors would change of the... You know, if you take the crew of one ship and put it on another ship, I think what makes something something is its behavior and the way it relates to the world around it, right?
But so what if your behavior changes? What if you are young and wild and now you're old and wise?
I think that is...
Totally different behavior, totally different person in the way you behave.
I think that even but your personality won't be changing that much.
I think personality could change.
I think it changes less than your behaviors. There's phases of life that you go through, and so it's more. It's behaviors are usually affected by priorities, right? Especially when you age, your priorities change, so your behavior changes, but your personality is the same. So how long have we known each other, Sam? How long have we been hanging out now? Over a decade.
That's true. Right?
So, that's true. Or yeah, over a decade, and your personality, our personalities couldn't have changed that much, or else we wouldn't remain friends. Probably.
That's
the only thing that's changed is our behaviors and our priority.
That's true. All right. So here's another reason why that's it. Here's another reason why maybe it's a problem to do psychological continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Another problem. Adult humans appear to be conscious and intelligent.
Yes.
But we are not organisms. So this is according to Dr. Eric Tolson from Sheffield University in the UK.
Sheffield.
And okay. Their point is, or they say, if you are an intelligent, so what you are is intelligent and conscious,
mm-hmm.
but you are also not an organism. But organisms are also intelligent and conscious.
Okay. Well, so I'm not an organism now?
No, you're not, right? Because your identity is your psychological continuity, right?
Right. I'm an identity riding in the organism spaceship. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. Right. So you are, and you would agree that part of your psychological continuity includes being conscious and intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So you're psychologically continuous, but if you became not conscious and not intelligent, or you're still conscious but you lost all your intelligence, that would not be you anymore. Correct?
Yeah. Well, how much intelligence are we talking here?
99% of your IQ points gone.
Oh.
you can't do anything on your own.
Okay. I don't think that's you anymore in the sense, like, you know, if I have a stroke and my entire being changes, I think you're kind of this specter of your old self. You're not really you anymore.
Right. Okay. So these are supposed to be the three problems that come from saying that you are psychologically continuous, but that you are also not essentially an organism.
Okay.
So the first consequence is that you are actually not one being, you are actually two beings. There's the intelligent conscious you,
mm-hmm.
and there's the intelligent conscious organism.
Right.
There are two thinking beings.
Then there's the face mites. Can't forget about them.
And the Phasmites, right? Mm-hmm. They're part of it too.
Maybe that's their role. As they delegate between the two. They're the liaison.
Oh yes. Everything. I mean, there's probably a lot going on that we aren't even aware of.
Oh, I mean, how many? I wonder how many living organisms reside in and on our bodies that are not part of us.
Yeah, and how many of our decisions are secretly because they've been lobbying consciousness?
I just had COVID for my fourth time, which is why we skipped a week. And when we were deep in the throes of COVID, we watched Osmosis Jones.
Nice.
Which is an excellent movie to watch when you're sick. It's just an excellent movie. Really, yeah. I don't know why it doesn't get more shine. That thing should be labeled as a classic. But it
makes people too smart. That's why.
But there's a lot of that going on of like your white blood cells are lobbying to do this and that. And the president of the body, he's a people pleaser. So that's why Bill Murray's in such bad health, is because he just gives everybody all the shit they want, like fast food and booze and cigarettes. And he's just like, yes, you want to take it. There's no restraint. That's his whole platform as mayor.
Mm-hmm. That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. So the story is advocating a more of a paternalistic government.
Yes.
It's a metaphor for that. Yep, I get it. Platonic fascism at its finest.
Yes, that's what that movie is all about. It's platonic fascism.
Okay, so that's the first weird thing.
Star-studded cast.
Great
villain.
Should check that out again. That is kind of weird because second one. And the organism will also be a person because it's intelligent, and because it has the same brain as you, it's psychologically you're the same.
I guess psychological continuity all depends on the organ that produces consciousness, right? So it's like, how do you separate the organism from the consciousness? We always end up back on this topic.
Well, that's you're pointing out like a great problem for like trying to have two different sides on this, is that like they point out, if you don't have physical persistence of your brain, you probably won't have psychological continuity either.
Right. If they ever do solve that problem, it's going to be quite the day. If like, say, uploading someone's total consciousness onto a computer, if they ever do that successfully, they pretty much have answered the question.
Yeah. Or transplanting your cerebrum into a machine or into another body or something.
I feel like the brain in a jar thing is, I don't know. I just feel like, first of all, how do you keep a brain alive in a jar? You have to solve that problem.
I mean, essentially your whole body is kind of like a jar that keeps your brain alive.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But it can do lots of other things too. You can simplify it a lot. All you really need to do is keep the blood flow to the brain.
Yeah, but there has to be
oxygenated blood. Yeah,
so you need lungs. We're gonna need all of our organs for the brain to work, I feel like.
Yeah, you could replace all the non-thinking organs with machines and just keep a brain alive, but that would be hard.
Well, here's that's the thing, is like, eventually they're gonna be able to make artificial versions of everyone's organs, right? Right. Yeah, so they've already grown. They're growing, like, I don't know what they've done already, but I know that they're going down that road of being able to grow a liver in a jar and then transplant it into a patient with its exact genetic.
They grew a nose out of a rat's face.
Yeah. an ear.
Yeah. They grew an ear on its forehead. Yeah.
But an ear is not very complicated. It didn't have an ear drum or anything in there, and like the nerves or whatever that connect to the brain. It was just like the cartilage in the shape of an ear, which is still pretty cool. But eventually they're going to be able to grow a liver or a spleen, and it'll be your exact match. So they'll just swap it out. I feel like, is that, that's happening. I think they're on that road right now.
Yep. They are doing that. They've created hybrid rat and mice as well.
I don't know why that's relevant, but oh, they fusion. Did they just do a fusion dance?
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. Like, cause this article, it talks about fission, which is when you take one person and you put one half of their brain in one body and put the other half in another body. Now you have two people, both psychologically continuous with the original. Are they the same person? Obviously, probably not.
Well, did you see that those conjoined twins just got married? Or sorry, one of them just got married. Two heads, yeah, one body.
Yeah.
And one of them, I guess, fell in love. I hope the other one likes them too, but oh my God, that is quite the situation.
Maybe, yeah, I mean, yeah, who, I don't even know. I wish them the best, all three of them.
Because if the other one finds a husband now,
that's a problem.
I don't know, man. I also, Godspeed to those lovely ladies. They have two distinct persons. Those are two distinct people, and they share one body. So it's an example of the brain being the most important thing when it comes to what makes someone who they are. Obviously, it's not news to anyone. But I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, this has been pretty interesting, but maybe the most interesting thing has been sort of like looking at this difference between being a person and being an organism. Are we organisms essentially or not?
We are people driving organisms.
Well, what do you think about this whole cell thing, right? Where the cells come together and organize in such a way to make the entity.
Doesn't it
seem like you're an organism if you're like a certain arrangement of cells?
It seems less likely if it's just each cell will naturally do one thing, right? And then the next cell in the chain has a slightly different directive, right? But they're all only really doing the one change. This is me being a biologist. Right? It's not like there's one central cell that has the whole plan in its back pocket, right? It's not like he's the architect of the human body and he's doling out jobs to the rest of the cells, right? It probably just does the one thing and it produces a new cell that does the one other thing. And then that just goes on and on. But the plan has to be in there somewhere, right? Or is it just like this is the only possible way a human body can take shape unless something goes wrong?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, everything's influenced by a lot of factors, environmental as well as cellular or genetic or whatever. But it does seem interesting to me that if we say that what we are is our psychological continuity, then we are not fundamentally organisms. We see ourselves as something other than an organism.
And yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That seems interesting in one sense. And that you could imagine taking our brain out, putting it in another thing. I'd like to see if that could actually be done.
If someone took someone I know's brain and sneakily put it into someone else's body, and then I started interacting with that person, eventually it would click that they're actually that other person. Say we take our dear friend Andrew Crone. And we take his brain and we put it in someone that looks nothing like him, right? And he never tells us, hey, I'm Andrew Crone. His voice is different and the way he looks is different. But everything else would be, eventually you would click that this is Andrew Crone.
Mm-hmm. And what happens to his original body?
I don't know. I think he requested to have it buried at the landfill.
Buried at the landfill.
But what I'm saying is that the essence of who you are is not dependent on your necessarily
your physical body.
Your physical body, even though it's all dependent on your brain, but the pieces that make you who you are not physical, even though they arise from physical structures. The actual entity that makes us who we are, I think if you can transfer it to any sort of any other organism, you're going to be able to tell that that's the same thing, right?
What if you couldn't transfer it?
What if you
can't do a perfect copy, right? We were talking about this cloning thing where if you copied the genetic material, you don't quite get the same exact thing that you copied it from. What if it's impossible to copy in any sense, like either even a transplant, just moving? What if things are lost in translation?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if people get too many concussions, their entire personality can change. So, I mean,
the hormones maybe will be different with your new organs. So I feel like things are going to be lost in translation, no matter if you do a like upload to a computer model or if you transplant a brain into another body. I think that's going to be lost.
Going back to the Andrew Crone example, if we put his brain in a different body, would the fact that it's in a new body slowly start changing the personality?
Well, yeah, I think that's the plot of some horror movies, actually, but I forget which one. But yeah, that is what I'm thinking here is I think that the idea, like if we want to say what we are is psychological continuity, then that I don't know if we can if that still might be the case that that's what we are is psychological continuity, but it might be impossible to prove it in the sense that you can transplant your brain to something else and keep a one-to-one copy.
Well, that's our episode. Let you stew on that. Watch out for brain worms, they're everywhere. I feel like I got about 4 or 5 in mind right now. You know that game Worms? Worms Armageddon?
Earth Worm Jim?
No, Worms Armageddon, where there's a bunch of worms fighting in my brain. That's what it feels like. And every time they throw a holy hand grenade, a big fucking piece of my gray matter gets blown into oblivion. Anyways, watch Welcome to Wrexham. And go play some worms Armageddon. It's a good game. See you next week.
Yeah. Peace out, fellow organisms.
Bye.